right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Geek Culture Congress. I'm your host today, Louis Speedy Jr. Gonzalez, and I apologize for all the mess that you see right there on our video, but we are talking via Skype with a gentleman who has a great passion for card and board games. His name is Dave Killingsworth, which is such a great last name for what you work
on. Thanks.
It's like you know, it couldn't have been planned any better, right?
Exactly.
The last name just markets itself. But he is the owner of Solar Flare Games, which is, I think you're based out of Texas, right?
Yeah, we're near Dallas.
Ah, right, cool. I've been there. Really nice place. And you work on, pick up card games, usually one player versus one player, right? Or sometimes you have multiple games.
We've done, this is our 10th game in 5.5 years that we've made and published. So we've done, usually we're focused on very family friendly games, or, you know, something that should be not the heavy hardcore, you know, I want to play, you know, Twilight Imperium gamer, but yeah, more along the lines of, hey, no, let's get our family together and play some games, kind of
right.
thing. So
I like that. I like that approach that you have to what you work on. Especially I of course, the first game that I've played of yours is the Robotech one, which is why we're here today. And okay. It was just a simple, I was like, man, you know, there's so much bad luck with Robotech stuff without getting into any of the, you know, depressing things that has happened, you know. But when I opened the box and I played it for the first time, I was like, and I talked my son into playing with me. You know, he's 18 and mm-hmm. probably saw Robotech when he was like very young that I forced him to watch it, you know. by the time we were done, we were like, man, you know what? That was actually fun, you know. And so tell me your approach to when you are thinking up of a new game, a new concept, new card game concept that you want to pull to market.
So I get a lot of game designers out there telling me that I do it backwards. I play a lot of games. I play games every week.
Right.
And, you know, I'll find a mechanic that I kind of enjoy, you know, or a part of a mechanic, because a lot of games you'll play, you're like, man, I like 80% of that game and I hate 20% of the game. And part of it's about finding things that I enjoy. So if I say, hey, how can I put these pieces together,
right,
you know, in a way that, you know, a group of people could play in an hour or less, most of the time is how we approach it.
Right.
But, you know, or I'll have this really cool idea about, you know, a concept and a theme, and then it's like, okay, let's see, I take the theme and let's go work backwards.
Right.
Robotech was kind of a hybrid of the two things. We were sitting around, and I had just finished Nightmare Forest Alien Invasion,
mm-hmm.
and I had some extra cards left over in the print run, so I decided to create a little mini game and kind of create this mechanic that you see in Force of Arms and Crisis Point, in Utter Terror. It's called Nightmare Forest Utter Terror. It's about two aliens trying to capture the most cows. It's a silly little game. It's got some memory to it.
It's something for fun, like with a family game.
Yeah, and so we took that mechanic, and then we kind of fiddled around with it. We're like, you know, this could really lend itself to a really cool space-based game. And then we went, and one of the guys at my job had found some old packs of Robotech trading cards.
Oh, wow.
And I went, oh, my God, that would be so cool, you know, because there's no way you could ever talk to, like, Star Trek or Star Wars when you're a little tiny company. And
right.
So, you know, but Robotech, in any way, Robotech was the thing that as a teenager, that's what I just, that's how I discovered anime, and I love it, love it, love it, love it. So I was like, you know, I'll send them a message and say, hey, I make games, can I use your IP? And I was shocked the next day when Harmony Gold called me, and I was like, wow, okay. And Force of Arms was born, and the thing that took the longest amount of time was taking all the classic bits of mecha and scenes from the show and making sure we could redraw everything. You know, we redid every piece of art in a modern style that served how people people want to see. You watch the TV show now, and you're like, whoa, that's kind of old, but damn, it's still good. And we wanted to take the modern ability of artists today digitally, and we just kind of extrapolated it out. We wanted it to. It was one of those things where it was really lucky. We built the engine to fit the IP instead of slapping an IP on an engine you already had built. Right. You know, we the utter tear part was under there, mm-hmm. but we took it and said, how do we make it fit these Robotech, big right. space Robotech space battles? And that's what we did.
Okay. I have my copy of the first game, which is actually available right now. I'm showing everybody right now on the screen, which is Robotech Force of Arms. This is my copy that I bought very lovingly. And you know, before we talk about what we're really here to talk about, which is the second part of this saga of you making these games, right? Because it's, mm-hmm. it's like another saga.
Yes.
Yeah, but your own saga, because of course, any fan knows that followed Robotech, there are three different wars. There's, of course, the first one, which is based on the Macross SDF-1, the one that pretty much a lot of people know with the F-14s that transform into, you know, Mecha, and a lot of people love them with Rick and Lisa and Chiron. And also, there's the second part, which is what you have your pre-sale going on for, which is based on the Southern Cross, which was another Japanese cartoon that they included in the story to have enough episodes, right? So that show is always like the redheaded stepchild of the Robotech saga for some weird reason. I haven't figured out why, because I enjoy it. Probably the first time I actually watched Robotech was the Southern Cross part.
It lives or dies with fans based on whether they like Dana or not.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I found. If Dana irritates you, you don't like it. If you love Dana, I just charge them with tanks. It works every time. Yeah. You know, if you like that part of her, it works for you. So it always seems everybody likes New Gen and everybody likes Macross, but it's that middle one right. that's one way or the other.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, with everything, the research we did and the Facebook groups that we mm-hmm. worked with on this, definitely it has a fan base that's
oh, yeah.
the people who love it are rabidly love it.
Yeah, of course. So I just want to show everybody this is the detail that goes into the game when you actually you're buying one of your games. This is the manual, of course, that teaches you how to play Robotech Force of Arms right here. And of course, a lot of great art that's in here as well. Plus, a very straight to the point explanation of the rules, without ruining it, without wasting any time and getting into the monotony of teaching people how the rules are. I'll avoid that. But what I liked about what you have was in this package. There was little baggies for the cards and for the tokens. I love that little detail. You know, not a lot of people think that way. You know what I mean?
Well, and I've got one of my best friends who helps us do a lot of our testing has about 1,400 board games at his house. Yeah. So it's always about, hey, what little thing can we do to make right. people happier with the game? And, I don't like loose parts flying around in my box that. Either.
Oh, yeah. So I'm just showing people these are the tokens, which are part of the game, which are also part of the other game, the sequel to this game, which we're going to be talking about later on, Crisis Point. And then we also have the card deck, which is the actual source of the actual game itself, right? Which kind of your playing deck and also your playing board, because you have to use these your ships as your defense and of course your objectives as well to try and get enough points to win the game. So I'm just wanting to show people some of the art here, and just tell me when you looking for artists to work on your projects. Is there a definitely go-to artist that you have in your stable?
Yeah, I've got four guys that I use. I've been using pretty regularly since Lords of Rock and Nightmare mm-hmm. Forest Alien Invasion.
Right.
I've got
and promo them. I'm sure.
Yeah, I've got a guy named Joel out in Mexico. I met him because of my other artist in Mexico named Andora uh-huh. Cydonia. Andora does a lot of the in Force of Arms. He did all the Zentradi mecha. Joel did all the RDF mecha, and then a guy I'm good friends with in South Africa did all the characters, because we really wanted the characters to look right out of the cartoon, not be modernized, because there's a lot of new games coming out with a lot of modernization of the art, but for me the passion was the classic, and all I wanted to do was make it look nice but look the same, you know, if that makes kind of sense. And so I used those guys, and then one artist I have in the UK tends to do all, I have one guy that does card design, one guy that does character design, then the two guys that do mechs.
I see. Very cool. Very cool. I'm showing people the poor armor ones and fives that always get massacred. But if you're really good, you can make them survive in this game if you really know how to play the game. So I'm just showing them some of the Zentradi here, and I actually show them what everybody wants to see, which is always usually the Robotech Defense Force first before I put these away. And I'll show you one of my favorites, which is the Battleoid right here. You can see the detail. So, I mean, it's a collector's item without even playing the game. You know? So that's a good thing about it. So if you just want to, like, have a cool thing to look at and play around with yourself, it's great as well. And you also make games that that you can play by yourself as well, right?
We did Nightmare Forest Alien Invasion. It's a true co-op in the sense that you have a certain amount of time to clear all the invading aliens. Nobody can die or you lose. Time runs out, you lose. So it's like it's a true co-op, but it's something you can play by yourself. The engine that sits under Alien Invasion, we took parts of that to build. We're actually working on the new gen game now. It's almost done testing. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those where we took some of that cooperative mechanic. So what we really wanted to do with Force of Arms, Crisis Point, and Infinite Invasion was you could sit down in one night, and over the course of about 3.5 hours, you could play the entire series in a series of games.
That's very cool.
So, yeah, so we really wanted to make sure we kind of serviced that part of what we love. And so, actually, what I'm going to do is while we're chatting, mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a little exclusive sneak peek here at some of the Invid Invasion art real quick.
Okay.
I'll shoot it over to you via chat.
And you can that's fine. And I can play. I put it on my desktop here, and then we'll show
people. Yeah, I will warn everybody: this is not final. It hasn't been final approved by Harmony yet. But let's see here. It give you an idea of what the art's going to look like. Now, these pictures you're going to see are also going to be turned into standees for Invid Invasion. So you'll actually have little cardboard stand-ups, and each character will have five versions. They'll have the person version, the motorcycle version, the cyclone the armored cyclone version, a guardian version, and a Battleoid version. So those should load up for you here in just a second.
Okay.
There you go.
Very cool. All right, so let's look at them. Everybody's gonna get to see my end. Oh, very nice. Let's see. Let's show them. This is actually the third game, so we're kind of ahead of ourselves, but still it's okay because everything that's Robotech. So,
Being such a humongous fan of Robotech, it's part of the art is part of the love. You know, you got to really make sure it's something. You have to service that here, and I'll give you one other thing.
I mean, just the fandom will let you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Working with working with the fan group for the Masters, we get in regular arguments about gun safety and art. That's how detailed they are about it.
Very cool.
That's what the box is going to look like,
right? Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. So let's get into, of course, I recommend Force of Arms. It's $20. I don't know what you can buy nowadays for $20 and have entertainment for about 20, 30 minutes with another person. Okay, so if you're a Robotech fan, just go get it. Go to Solar Flare Games. Do you have your own online store? You send them to the retailers?
No. So we're actually in distribution. So you can go to any board game. You know, any game store can order it. If they don't have it, they can order it. And one of the nice things that I'm going to let you guys know, in addition, on the pre-order right now, people who do the pre-order will get the booster pack, the free booster pack for Force Arms early. But then stores are actually going to be able to carry it for free, because we care so much about what we're doing that we want the fans to get a little bit more, even a little bit of bigger experience out of the Force of Arms game. Right. So the booster pack is called Grand Cannon, and it replaces the empty space that we have in the game for Force of Arms with the Grand Cannon, and it changes the mechanics, because you're not only are you trying to protect your ships, now you're trying to get control of the Grand Cannon so you can fire it. Everybody wanted that. We added there's a couple of cards in there. You get Roy Fokker, so hashtag Roy Fokker lives. And we Exodor's in there, and then you have I want to say it's Fire the Main Gun is one of them.
Yeah.
And the other one is the Daedalus counter maneuver. So we did a lot of fun stuff because it's about servicing the love of what we do. So Force Arms is we made it for $20. You know, everybody was saying you should charge $25 because it's Robotech, and I'm like, no, I want something that people can introduce their kids to Robotech and enjoy all the stuff that we're doing. And it's, you know, $20, $20 bill. You walk away with it and you have a good time with it. And so Grand Cannon is going to expand that. But one of the things we did is we made the game fairly symmetrical. There's a little bit of asymmetry in the command and hero phase. Mm-hmm. But it's meant to be teach you how to use that mechanic that we invented really well to prepare you for Crisis Point, because Crisis Point is the ultimate expression of that original aliens capturing cows mechanic. Because instead of the center of the board being pre-built, you actually build it as you play, and as you play cards next to each other, they trigger off of each other.
So it's definitely
a deeper strategy kind of game.
Right. So Robotech Force of Arms is kind of like the introduction to your game mechanic.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
Which is cool. It's kind of like the progression. So Crisis Point is more now a lot more moving parts to it, like a lot more combos that you can do, Force of Arms kind of like this is the basics, right?
Yeah, like you're familiar with Force of Arms, like how on Force of Arms you have the outside is two cards per row column. Right. You have defense and attack.
Right.
In Crisis Point, we moved the complexity from the outside. So now the outside in Crisis Point is just one card. And if the card is over your card, it's defense. If it's over an enemy card, it's attack. So we made it simplified on the outside. But in the middle, you have your base. You have two strategic locations, and you're going to play five of your eight potential units in the center in a 4x4 grid. And what happens is you lay cards down, like if you lay the base down, when you lay the base down, however many combat cards you have left in your hand is how many tokens you earn. So you can play it early, but then your base is just sitting out there, obvious where it's going to be the whole game. So you get more tokens, but the enemy has more information. And then you keep going back and forth, and you have things, you have cards, units to lay down, and each unit, when you lay it down, you collect combat tokens that you can play during the token phase.
Right.
But they also have abilities where if you lay them, if you get the right cards next to each other at the right time, they trigger extra effects. And then also during the hero and command phase, if you have units that are adjacent to each other in the right way, certain hero or command cards can even boost that triggered ability even farther. So you not only are you trying to figure out what you're doing while you're doing it, you're also trying to plan two phases ahead in the game as you're doing it.
Wow. Okay. I like it. I'm already invested, so I already put on my dollar bills for the pre-order. So let's talk about, of course, Force of Arms is available now. So anybody who wants to buy it can find it, even if they got to Robotech.com, right?
Yep. And we actually, during the pre-order here, you can actually get it bundled with this game too, if you want. So
So there you go.
There's a lot of flexibility there.
Very cool. Very cool. So you could do that. Definitely get into Force of Arms. You just want to learn the mechanics. But we're here for really is to promote your pre-order phase of Crisis Point. So for anybody who just doesn't understand how manufacturing games work. Why don't you give them the cliff notes of why a pre-order or why even a Kickstarter in the first place or anything similar to that?
So through the with some of the history that we aren't going to talk about with Robotech and games, you know, Harmony doesn't allow for Kickstarters anymore. So I'm not. This isn't a Kickstarter.
We're not going to beat nobody up in this show.
So yeah, and I'm good. I'm friends with the owners of Pledge Manager, which is the platform I'm using.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very good. And so it kind of looks like a Kickstarter because it tends to be what people use post Kickstarter. But I'm using it as a pre-order platform. But the difference is, I already paid for production to start.
Oh yeah.
So the game's already good. You know, people who are worried about like, oh well, I've been burned by.
Is it going to happen if it doesn't?
It's going to happen no matter what.
Okay.
Period.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's going to get because I already have a distribution deal. So as soon as I put it in distribution, all the game stores will order a bunch of copies, and I'll make back what I've invested because I'm taking Force of Arms money that I've earned and investing it to make Crisis Point. The reason we're doing the pre-order, I had an opportunity to create some special limited edition things. So there was two folds. We have the Robotech poker cards. So we used
I didn't see that. That was very cool.
Yeah, we used the Zentradi, the RDF. The Army of Southern Cross and the Masters created.
Let me get into the actual reward here on the.
If you actually.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Scroll down, you can see the poker cards on the front page.
What did I do? Oh, okay, yes. Okay, so this is the game, of course, right?
Yep.
This is the little cards, the art, which I love the logo. That's like the most underused mech in the whole Robotech
War. We've
been
told this is we did the impossible. We made the Logan look cool.
Yeah, they're like the death traps of the war. You know, those and the and some other ones. Those poor fighter jet guys.
Oh yeah, the Silphid fighters. Yeah,
but in the final battle, they're getting down in the final battle. So I'll reserve judgment. How about that? So that's a little bit of the art of the actual little bit of the Southern Cross, a little bit of the Masters there. And then you
and
can also
the rule
check
books
out the
right
rule
there.
Book.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Very cool. It comes with a booster pack for Robotech Force of Arms, which is everything that you just explained about the Grand Cannon.
Yep.
Now, for people who are familiar already with Force of Arms, it's gonna be a little like explanation on how to introduce this into the actual game mechanics of Force of Arms.
The booster pack literally has one card. The entire rules fit on the back of a single card.
Oh, okay.
And then you have the other cards. And basically, the hero and command cards you can add to you can actually add to Force of Arms without the Grand Cannon.
Okay.
But once you place the Grand Cannon, it's very simple. The Grand Cannon replaces that empty space card that's in the current game now because we wanted four and four.
Yeah.
But the Grand Cannon has limits. It can't just move anywhere. It can only move orthogonally one spot. And what happens is whoever has control of it at the end gets to fire it, which gives you extra combat tokens to try to capture or beat somebody. And there's also a couple of instant win conditions under Grand Cannon rules. So we really wanted to – we were originally going to put some of this stuff in the original Force of Arms, and then we realized – due to manufacturing, I was trying to keep it that $20 price point. And if I put some of this stuff in, it would have been $25, and that's not what I wanted. So we just decided if it's really successful, we'll put a little money aside and we'll run, you know, a couple thousand of these, and then allow stores to just give them away for free later. So that because it's about supporting the product that you believe in. You know, a lot of people would be like, hey, we'll just put $5 on this and then people will buy it because they like the first one. I'm like, nope, you know what? I love the product. I love the IP and I love the people who were gracious enough to support us. So we're putting it out for free.
Cool. That's really cool. I think that's like really, really, really nice of you to, you know, just to something extra for the people who are supporting you since day one, you know? Or at least participating in this pre-sale. So this is the image of the playing cards, and they're just regular playing cards, have nothing to do with the game, right?
Yeah, what we did, all we did was replace the suits with the logos from each of the groups. One of the things, when you play Crisis Point, you'll find out that the Masters now officially have a logo because we created one for them and it got canonized.
Nice.
And then the one of the biggest battle cries of Masters / Army of the Southern Cross fans was they hated the fact that the logo for the Army of the Southern Cross that everybody uses most of the time isn't actually the Army of the Southern Cross flag. Right. And there was only this like 2-second shot of it in some animation somewhere, so I actually had my artist create a really nice rendered version of it, and it became canon.
Nice.
And so that, so for me as a nerd fan of this whole thing, I'm like, I get to make things that become part of it forever.
Right.
So with this, we just basically made the Masters clubs. These Entradi are the equivalent of the spades, and then RDF is diamonds, and the AOSC is the hearts. And you could use it just like any regular poker card deck or playing card deck, but it has all the art from both games in it.
Very cool. Very cool. That's a nice, cool extra thing. And then also, of course, there is the limited edition variant cover that you supplied for Free Comic Book Day for the, forget the name of the company that does this, Titan.
Yes, yeah.
Titan Comics. They have a rehashed retelling of the Robotech saga that they've started in the comic book world. And
It is changing the storyline a lot. I would even, like you called it a rehash. They're re-envisioning it. And so far, it's actually pretty interesting. What I was told is they're trying to use some of the original ideas from one of the original writers.
Right.
To where you're supposed to kind of, instead of being separate, kind of there's elements that come in sooner than they do in the show, and it's really cool. So for this, what you'll notice when you go out for Free Comic Book Day in May, the back of this issue, all 90,000 copies of the back of this issue, is actually an ad for Force of Arms and Crisis Point.
Nice.
But we had a limited number of these made with this cover, with our logo, and this is art from Force of Arms. It may be arguably one of the best pieces of art we've done. This is the one everybody loves because everybody loves Max and Maria, and this is their first fight.
Right.
And so we talked to Titan, and they let us make a certain number of these with this cover, but you can only get this variant cover from the pre-order or if you see me at a convention and I have any left. That would
nice.
Be the only way to get it.
Okay.
And so the booster pack, the poker cards, and this variant cover are all free. So you're paying $30 for Crisis Point, which is going to be retail. So you're paying the same as retail. So
you're paying the exact same money as retail, ladies and gentlemen, for right. this right here.
Correct.
Okay? The whole game.
We're discounting shipping $5 for people who order early. They're getting a discount on shipping, and they're getting the three bonus things.
Mm-hmm.
And then they actually
the Grand Canon promo expansion for the first game, Force of Arms. Okay.
Yep.
You're getting a free playing deck, fun playing deck of Robotech playing cards. You're getting the variant comic book for Free Comic Book Day.
Yep.
And I see you're contest. Getting included in some art contest as well.
So what we did was every copy somebody orders of Crisis Point, they'll get entered into a drawing. And when we close the pre-order before we deliver, we'll pick five people. So let's say you ordered five copies for whatever reason. You'd get five entries, and we'll draw five names. And even if we draw somebody twice, because it's going to be a pure, free, fair drawing, they will get to pick their favorite piece of art from Crisis Point, because I will show them all of the art that's in the game, because they won't obviously have a copy of the game yet.
Right.
But I will show them, PDFs of all the different cards. And what they'll do is they'll pick the piece of art they like the best. I'll strip all the game components off the art
right.
and do a 10x14 print, sign the print, and send it to them for free. It'll be a nice little extra bonus for people who pre-order. So what I really wanted to do is I have retailers are very important to me because game stores are the lifeblood of what I do.
Yeah.
And so I have to do this pre-order because what I'm actually trying to do is generate some interest and some excitement prior to it going, because there's only so many of these are going to be available. Once we run out of the extras, the pre-order shuts down, or if we get to May, the pre-order shuts down. Either way,
right.
it's only going to be open for a limited period of time. And so we want to make sure we support retailers, which is why the price is the same as you'd pay a retailer. And what you're paying in shipping is about what you pay in tax. So we're trying to kind of keep it equal, but it's limited. There's only so many of these that can be had. And what I'm trying to do is generate enough capital to make sure I get all the art done for Invid Invasion in time to do a pre-order for Invid Invasion so we can deliver Invid Invasion in October or November before the year's over.
Right.
Invid Invasion is going to weigh almost 5 pounds.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's going to be and that's going to be very big because, you know, just most of that whole Third War is, you know, there's a lot of crazy fanatics, you know.
The board alone is 24 by 36. In this one, it's 18 by 24, so there's a board. Mm-hmm. This box is about 9.5 by 9.5 by 2, so it's a pretty good size. It weighs about 2.6 or 2.7 pounds. So it's for $30. There's not much you could pick up in a game store this size and this weight that you'd get for $30. And once again, I had a bunch of people go, "You should charge $35," but I'm like, "Nope," because I'm not going to just charge people for the name.
Just keep pushing the envelope.
I want people to enjoy the fun and enjoy the games.
I want to show some people. I want to show people the Invid. Did you put an Invid picture up on your
Oh, you mean the back of the cards?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm talking about the Invid. I forget. You sent it to me. That's right.
Yeah.
So I will. That's okay. I'm lost here in internet space here. So the pre-sale is live now, okay? The pre-sale is live now. And anybody who wants to order it, of course, go ahead and plug away everything that they need to do. Go to your website, of course, SwordOfFlareGames.com.
Yeah, I just sent you two pieces of art. You can pop up real quick if you want.
Cool. Yeah, very cool. All right. Ah, yes, this is very cool.
The back of the cards look like when you're playing Invid Invasion. The battlefield is all the Invid are face down with various colors telling you whether they're weak or strong. This is the weakest kind. The part of my goal with Invid Invasion is to make the Invid scary.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the theme of that, you know, that story, you know, that they're just scary characters, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and part of the whole overall plan with this was Force of Arms is 20, Crisis Point's 30, and this one's going to be 50. So in the end, we'll produce three games that for retail will be $100, and you can sit down in one evening in about anywhere between 2.5 to 4 hours, just depending on how fast you play. You can play the entire TV show in a series of games. And what we're doing and what was really important to us was, once again, it wasn't like we slapped a skin on something that sort of feels like the TV show.
Right.
We really went into, you're in the TV show and the mechanics fit the experience as if you were in the TV show. That was kind of the goal.
Very cool. Very cool. So they can go right now to SolarFlareGames.com. And they can participate in the pre-sale and get all those goodies with their order of Crisis Point right now, right as we speak, right?
Yeah, and okay. The easiest way to hit the, if you want to hit the pre-order without having to hop through a website, you can go to tinyurl.com/crisispoint.
Okay, very cool. All right, anything else after Robotech is done and you've closed the chapter on Robotech, what's... in the future for Solar Flare Games?
A couple things. Our license expires the midpoint of next year. Okay. There's a couple of things going on. Obviously, Harmony has to renew their license control of the IP. Right. If that were to happen, we're actually considering, we'll probably renew our license because I've invented a Robotech deck builder.
Oh.
That
excuse me.
That plays unlike any deck builder out there right now. It pieces of it function like DC, pieces of it function like Marvel's Legendary, but it's very unique in how it functions. And if we continue to do the license, what we'll do is Robotech Macross deck builder, and then we'll release a Masters expansion and then a New Gen expansion, and then if they let me, I'll do a Sentinels expansion.
Oh, yeah. Well, man, that would be...
So
cool.
If we can, we've got some really good ideas, and there's a lot of ways we can go with it. If that, and then probably before we get to that first part next year, we're talking about doing another Kickstarter. Let me see if I can show you a quick piece of art from that. We have a game we're working on called Quests, the Heroes of Cercado. And let's see if I have the...
Yeah, feel free to plug away. It doesn't have to be about Robotech. let's see. Let's get back here to your Facebook page.
Like, so it's you'll see stuff. This is one of our. It's called a. This is a quest card, and we have a very early version of the cover. This is going to change a little bit because the title's wrong. Now we changed the title.
That's fine.
But the idea of this one is it's going to play. If you try to imagine hybriding a light version of Dungeons and Dragons with Choose Your Own Adventure as a card and dice game.
Huh. Okay. I like it.
Yeah, so you'll draw a quest like this, and this shows you that you need 3 treasure tokens, 5 armor and weapon tokens, 8 magic tokens, and 4 lore tokens. Okay. To do that, you have to go questing through 4 adventure areas, and the adventure areas are decks of cards. So you have forest, dungeon, city, and ruins, and each one has a slight lean towards one of these type of things, but in there you have traps, you have events, you have monsters. When monsters are triggered, the people who are all playing player characters... because what we did was, let me see if I have one real quick here. Let's see. There we go. This is that's the cleric player character. So the characters have 4 stats. And the stats, when you go to fight the monster has a target number based on all 4 potential stats. And the size of the monster determines how many characters can participate in the fight, and then whoever's the primary character whose turn it is decides which stat they want to use to attack the monster. So you add up the bonus for all the people who can participate, roll a 20-sided die. If you hit the number or higher, you defeated the monster, you get the reward. If you miss it, you fail, and everybody gets punished.
Or dead.
it's light. It's something you can play with your kids. It's something you can play with your friends when you're kind of having a party time. One of the things that we're really proud of, and the thing that we've always done with our games, is since throughout my life, I've never had kids of my own, but I've only ever had stepdaughters. So one of the things that we do in our games is when you play Quest, you'll see that half the characters are female and half the characters are male. If you play Lords of Rock, half the gods are male, half the gods are female, because one of the things we do as a family-friendly company is we want to promote, gender equality within the games so that people feel like, hey, I can play somebody who's like me, and all of the characters you'll find in none of our games, nobody is, sexy, so to speak. So all the goddesses are wearing nice, in Lords of Rock, they're all wearing cool outfits, but they're respectable.
Right.
And so it's about, like I said, we're a family friendly game. We've had some ideas for games we want to do, but we're like, we can't do that as the company we are. So, so we got Quest Heroes versus Cercado. We've come up with an idea for a light worker placement. So it's a worker placement that's designed for people who want to introduce their kids to worker placement but don't want to have to try to play Waterdeep.
I see.
With their kids. Okay. And we've got another one called Combat Wombat, and it's you play a group of you play a group of kind of A-team-ish wombats trying to get the
show a little bit of
trying to get the Tasmanian devils out of your den. So there's some of that's not up there yet, but
show them a little bit of the Archmage origins and other stuff that you have.
So Archmage was the second iteration of that utter terror mechanic that ended up in Force of Arms and Crisis Point.
I see. Okay.
So we kept evolving this mechanic to where what we did, when we test it, what we describe Crisis Point is the ultimate expression of that mechanic. There's literally no way for us to twist it any farther than we have, so Crisis Point is the final slash tactical strategy bluffing area control hand management war game. So
I like it. Okay, let me show them a little bit of the Nightmare Force, which is one of your better settlers, huh? You got three of them going, right?
People love Alien Invasion because it's a true Dead Run is a every man for himself. It's you wake up in the woods, the forest critters have been turned into zombies.
Right.
And the first person to escape, fight their seven escape wins, so it's every person for himself. Whereas Alien Invasion is a true co-op. You're trying to clear the aliens before the timer runs out. If you fail, you know, the Earth gets conquered. And this is the one people like Lords of Rock a lot, but people keep coming back to us at conventions going, oh my god, we love Alien Invasion, which is why we're co-opting some of the mechanics from this.
Right.
For Invitivation.
Yeah. Okay. And then Utter Terror is tell me a little bit about that one before we wrap up. It's more
So that's the one that's the very
out of cows, yes.
Yeah. So you have two teenage aliens trying to capture the most cows. you have eight flying saucers with a tractor beam power 1 through 8, and you control two sides of the board, the other guy controls two sides, and it's just like Force of Arms. You're building a vector over each card. Whoever has the most power gets the cow. If you tie, the cow gets destroyed.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, and go give them everything, your socials, where they can follow you, where they can follow Solar Flare Games. Give them all the 411.
Okay, facebook.com/solarflaregames, instagram.com/solarflaregames, and then, oddly enough, this is going to be really weird, twitter.com/bravefrontier.
Okay, that's obviously
somebody had Solar Flare Games, and technically my LLC is called Brave Frontier Studios, but we're also, we do business as Solar Flare Games, so.
Right. Okay, very cool, very cool. Dave, thank you so much for taking time out and talking to us about Robotech. I guess I'll give it away that I'm a big fan of the IP, so if anything else, when we're ready to talk about Invasion again, can we get you back on, and we'll...
Absolutely.
You're probably going to do the same thing, maybe another pre-sale?
Yes, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're actually we're working on a free booster that will allow you to play Crisis Point and Force of Arms side by side and have them interact.
Wow, that's mind blowing. You should call it the Titan Comics version, the Titan Comics upgrade or something. I don't know, without getting in trouble, alternate universe or something like that. All right, thank you so much, Dave. Dave Killingsworth, ladies and gentlemen, Solar Flare Games. Go check him out. Check out everything that he's working on at solarflaregames.com. And thank you so much for being with us here at Geek Culture Congress. And hopefully next week we'll have another show for you again. And thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much for following us. Of course, the Instagram, follow us, Geek Culture Congress. When are you going to be in any shows in Florida? We're based out of Florida, so any... trade shows in Florida are you going to be able to make it to?
Let's see. We've got coming up this year. No, we don't have anything in Florida. Okay. It's just with actually having a regular job in addition to doing this, yeah. I don't get a lot. We're going to be at the Gamma Trade Show next week in Reno.
Okay.
And then we'll be at BoardGameGeek.com, the spring one, which is Memorial Day weekend here in Dallas. And then we will be at Origins Game Fair in June. And looks like we may be doing a convention here called Game Fest, which is part of Anime Fest out here in Dallas in August. Very nice. And then we will do BGG fall. Yeah.
You're busy. You don't need to come to Florida. I'm just kidding. One of these days, then.
I got to make an excuse because I'm a huge Miami Dolphins fan.
Oh,
so.
There you go. See? Yeah, you at least do the SuperCon or MegaCon Orlando or something.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Dave. Dave Killingsworth, ladies and gentlemen, go check him out right now on Facebook because he's all over Facebook. He's all in the Robotech groups and everything right now. So you can check out the art for yourself if you don't believe anything I've shown you in this past hour or so of show. Okay. Thank you so much, Dave.
Thank you very much.
Have a good one. Okay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.